Welcome back to Saturday Miss. This is our Sports in the News segment. We have Scott with us, one of our favorite listeners, someone who one of these days will get to participate actually in the program, the fellow who has created the Bless Yahweh site that archives these shows by subject, wrote that, would you guys mind exploring the preferential treatment of NCAA football players? It seems appropriate to me for schools to immediately dismiss the malefactors from the team and the school, and yet that rarely happens. Instead, offenders are given a relatively gentle slap on the wrist and allowed to retain their scholarships and the right to play sports for that school. It is absolutely wrong. Marshall did expel a player over the weekend, and that was encouraging, but that's a rare exception. What do you think, Scott?
Yeah, I find some of the entitlement to be a little absurd. I don't know if I agree with the again, it's a case-by-case thing. I mean, if some guy goes out and he, you know, he's a junior and he goes out to a bar and, you know, something happens at the bar, that's typical college stuff to me. Now the Jameis Winston thing, the Florida State, that's going overboard.
We had two women that specifically identified him, one tied by DNA.
Exactly.
One saying that she, was sexually assaulted by him. The other one said she was raped by him. Mm-hmm. And he, wins the Heisman, does get, suspended for any time, and is, routinely in the media. Yeah, there's something desperately wrong with Florida State and the football program under those circumstances.
So I guess I agree that the one, law enforcement shouldn't be looking away. Law enforcement should always be taking the necessary
and of course
steps.
But what happens, though, is law enforcement in college towns has this tendency to treat the college as if it was its own city, its own municipality, and give it preferential treatment. You know, I spent a number of years in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is where the University of Virginia is. And in Charlottesville, you know, the question is the university in charge of the town, or the people who reside there that aren't part of the university in charge of the town? And almost universally, no, ignore the pun, it's the university which is in charge. And so I have witnessed many issues where the law enforcement capitulates to the university. And I do think that a university has a fiduciary responsibility as it relates to the safety of the young people that are entrusted to its care.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And that's what makes, that's why the Jameis Winston thing upsets me so much, is because it's one student doing something to another student. That should be, you know, cut and dry. I just think that it has to be a case by case thing, because there's things that, like I said, if your junior middle linebacker goes out to a bar, and he runs into a guy that wants to be a jerk, and because that guy knows he can be a jerk and ruin this guy's football career, I mean, that's, and if he pushes that guy and tells him to leave him alone, that's not the same, you know. So it had to be a case by case. But I don't think that there should be.
You look at Aaron Hernandez that used to go to bars, and he wouldn't just push back; he would threaten to kill people. And later he did.
No, and I understand that. But there again, if it's a one time thing, one incident is one thing, and a guy and how the player reacts to that would also determine my.
I'm going to take a little harder view on it. I think that there is a culture of entitlement to football players and basketball players at universities, where they get preferential treatment in classes, they get preferential treatment in housing, they get preferential treatment in terms of behavior, and that as part of that lifetime, once in a lifetime opportunity that they are afforded, that it should come with a very stern written and verbal warning that the tolerance for inappropriate behavior, because you're representing this university, is going to be very low. So you just go into this knowing that if you want to accept this, you might have been big man on campus in high school, and you might have gotten away with a lot of stuff. You aren't going to get away with it here.
Well, and that tone gets set by your, that can be set by your coach. Look at the University of Texas. Obviously, he's taken a stance. It's his first year there, and he's taken the stance that I'm not going to let this stuff, this isn't allowed here.
Yeah, he's almost perfect in this regard. I mean, first of all, he came in and he's replacing a legend in Mac Brown. And I happen to be a Mac Brown fan. I think Mac Brown is one of the classiest guys in college football. And he comes in, particularly as an African-American coach, from a much, much smaller school without the pedigree. And the alums, for the most part, don't want anything to do with him. And then the first thing he does is he's not only suspended two football players for, and we'll talk about that particular incident, but he's dismissed several members that were football players that were recruited by Mac Brown and said, you're not welcome here.
Yeah, and that's like you brought up Aaron Hernandez, and Urban Meyer let him do that stuff.
Correct.
He didn't
get by with it.
So that's where you really
and his whole up. And his whole team. There were 30 criminals on the national championship team at Florida under Urban Meyer. He recruited that kind of individual, and he created an environment where they all got away with it.
But I think that's where the school should take a much harder approach is with the coaches. Because they're in charge of their team's discipline, and they're getting paid millions of dollars to do that. So I find coaches should be held much more accountable for the young men that they're claiming responsibility for. A coach is easily willing to step up and talk about how he likes to mold young men and things like that. Then actually be someone that's molding them, because you're getting paid millions of dollars to do that.
Yeah, in that particular case, you and I talked about long, when we just began this Sports in the News segment, that at Florida State with Jameis Winston, when the report came that he had abused this girl, and she identified him as the perpetrator, and then when it's obvious that she ain't making it up because there's his DNA in her panties, at that point, you have an absolute responsibility as the athletic director, as the president of that university, and as the head football coach to gather that young man into a conversation and say, you know, this is not a court of law, but, young man, you need to explain yourself.
You need to explain yourself, and you know what? You should probably take some time away from football. And, you know, because tell him he can't be, look.
But they didn't do that, and when they finally the police finally requested him to provide testimony, he hid behind attorneys.
And that's just it.
At that point, I'd say, you know, you have the constitutional right to hide behind your attorneys, but you don't have the constitutional right to play football here.
And what Charlie Strong is doing with the at Texas, that's gonna resonate a lot more with his players than a coach that is lenient. Because you can say whatever you want about football players and everything like that. There are entitled jerks, just like in life. But there's a lot of guys that do understand that how awesome it is that they have this opportunity, and it's something that they've worked very hard to get, and they don't want to do anything to bring a bad light upon themselves.
Or the university.
So when
and that may be the majority.
And I tend to believe it is. And so when a coach steps up like Charlie Strong, and he now puts this out there that, look, this is, I don't care what these guys can do for me on the football field. These aren't the men that I want to coach.
Right.
That's going to speak a lot more to the 70% of the players that do understand how awesome it is to be able to play a sport and get a college education.
Yeah, you know, I think the majority are playing a sport and trying to get a college education. You and I might differ on the major college football at major Division I programs. Really isn't about the education; it's about money. And it has become the number two sport and number two most profitable sport in America behind the NFL. Yes. And so I think we've created an artificial environment for these young men that isn't appropriate. So I think universities bear a lot of responsibility for creating an environment. And, you know, I think to a large degree, too, we are way overvaluing athletes. You know, it's like Rome overvaluing the gladiator. We ought not be. In America, we overvalue warriors, and we overvalue athletes.
I was going to say, we overvalue entertainment. It's not just athletes. It's your we overvalue entertainment, and it's athletes, it's actors, it's even politicians. Even them, we overvalue to the point to where these guys are the best of the best, and that's not true. And you're right. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that.
No, because we create this artificial, overly hyped aura around entertainers and athletes in particular, we do give them a sense of entitlement. And there's a significant number that are acting inappropriately based on that. I mean, you have Ray Rice is an example, grew out of that, and now, he hits his fiance so hard in an elevator that he has to drag her out of the elevator unconscious. And for that, the NFL decides, a couple of games suspension, that ought to be.
Two games.
Well, a couple of games, That's not helpful.
No, that's not helpful at all. And
the NFL says, he's sorry, and he's working to improve the relationship. Sorry is a nice first step. But sorry doesn't make it right. Sorry doesn't fix it.
Especially when you're hurting other people. Ryan Braun, he came out and he attacked somebody. He basically verbally attacked somebody.
Who was just doing his job.
Yep, did this job.
Demeaned him.
And then he came out after doing that. Then he said sorry. That's an apology. That doesn't mean anything to me.
Not a thing. He's sorry that he got caught. Is the only thing he's sorry about. We've created an artificial environment for sports heroes, just as we've created an artificial environment for war heroes. And it's a problem. Welcome back to Shatterness. This is the Sports and the News segment. The most recent incident at Texas, Texas football, one of the most prestigious programs in the country. In the state of Texas is, football is a religion. High school football, they have high school football stadiums in Texas that cost $30 and $40 million to build. I mean, it is as close to a religious experience as anything you'd ever want to see. And the University of Texas is the dominant program. And here you have two wide receivers, Kendall Sanders and Montrell Meander. They're currently in custody of the university police. According to an arrest, and that's the university police, not the Austin police. According to an arrest affidavit, Sanders and Meander texted each other during earlier interviews with police to get their story straight. And Sanders also faces a charge of improper photography tied to an alleged assault. The story here is that this girl who called the university police, she was early, because it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. She was huddled under a reception desk and disheveled and crying. And one of these two guys, she went to his room to have sex with him, consensual sex. And the other fellow, I think it was Sanders, knocked on the door, and the guy that she was having sex with, Meander, invited him in and invited him to participate. And she says, no, I didn't sign up for gangbang here. And she started screaming, no, don't do this. And not only did Sanders allegedly join in, he took pictures of the whole thing. And then they're brought to the university police, and they're texting back and forth to get their story straight. Now, they were suspended. They haven't been thrown off the team. They haven't been thrown out of the university. You know, the combination of those things, even if the girl's testimony isn't 100% credible, I don't think I'd suspend them. I think I would have said goodbye. You're not welcome here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
just the text back and forth. Let's get our story straight. Yeah. Whatever happened to telling the truth?
Well, see, that's the beauty. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember a lie.
Oh, yes, correct. Let's get our story straight. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what's this deal with football players and bringing their friends in. I mean, I've played on a lot of football teams, and I've had some great teammates, and I'm great friends with a lot of teammates, but I've never once been with my girlfriend or someone else and thought, man, I'd love it if my teammate was in here. This would be great. I mean,
it is a little perverted. Now, beyond that, don't you think it's weird that the University of Texas police are the ones who are conducting the investigation? They're the ones who are proceeding with this, not the Austin police. Isn't the University of Texas in Austin? And isn't it the jurisdiction of the Austin police?
It should be.
This is rape, folks. This is rape. You know, you rape is not a game that you play at the rent-a-cop level at a university. And they want it to proceed through the student judicial process. We've lost our ever-loving mind.
Yeah. There's no excuse for it. There's no way you can look at this and think that this is the way it should be. This is how it should be taken care of. I mean, it's a. If I go into a secure building and I do something, I beat up somebody or something like that, am I off? Do I go into their jail cell and I don't have to worry about things in the outside world? I mean, this is an Austin police thing and it should be taken care of by them.
Absolutely.
And anybody that's looking at this and says, well, you know, that's how they do it. That shouldn't be how they do it. Because that's how they do it doesn't mean that's how it should be done.
Rape is a federal crime and it's a state crime. And it should be prosecuted that way. It's not a university crime. There's no, you know, it's my whole issue with rape, for example, in the U.S. military. It ought not be handled in the U.S. military. Rape in the of a service man or woman, and it happens to both, ought to be prosecuted in civil courts. You want to put an end to this. Make them accountable in civil courts. And, you know, lay down the law. It's these two young men ought to have been dismissed from the university and team, not suspended.
So I have a question for you, Craig. A guy gets caught smoking marijuana in the NFL. He gets a year suspension.
Second offense, right?
Second.
First offense, I think, is 4 games.
Second offense is a year. A guy... Of course,
that's because marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. You can eat so many more tortilla chips once you've had the drag of the old doobie than you can without it. So it is definitely a performance-enhancing drug. I have seen friends of mine absolutely devour munchies beyond human comprehension.
Okay, so that gets you a year. You make a homophobic comment in a special teams meeting as a coach, and you get a 3-game suspension. But cold cocking your wife on camera in a elevator and having to drag her out, that gets you 2 games. What's going on here? because, like, with the Vikings, Mike Prefer, special teams coach, is suspended for 3 games for making a comment of how we should round up all the gays, send them to an island, and then nuke it until it glows.
Just in all fairness. In all fairness. You know, somewhere along the way, people ought to get a sense of humor. I mean, they ought to understand hyperbole. I mean, now I agree that that Mike Prefer, and it was hard to pronounce because the I comes before the E, so he didn't get the lecture on phonics. But that Mike Prefer, what he said, although he intended it to be funny, that most people in today's world are way too indoctrinated regarding political correctness to see humor. In fact, even sarcasm today, which is my favorite form of humor, is essentially considered to be mean, and therefore you can't even use sarcasm today. But if he was actually advocating rounding up all gays and quarantining them to an island and then dropping a nuclear bomb on them, then rather than being suspended for 3 games, he ought to be put in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
But the fact is, he was not advocating the dropping of a nuclear bomb, just as he was not advocating the huddling gays onto an island.
But he's being demonized here by Chris Cooley.
Right. Because Chris Cooley was dropped from the team.
From the team. But this is the same guy, Chris Cooley, in the exact same report that it came out that, okay, this comment was true. He did make this comment. He says he was joking about it. Chris Cooley made a comment. He went around with a hole in the back of his pants and paraded around the locker room as a Penn State victim when the whole Sandusky thing came down.
And I want to say obviously he was trying to be funny with that, but
yeah,
there is a level of humor that's just not reasonable. I mean, to say I want to nuke an island with people on it until it glows, all right. I mean, it's over the top hyperbole. When you're dealing with a defensive coordinator of one of the most famed college programs, and he has lured a score of children into his basement and into his office, and he has sodomized them, raped them, then, you know, the university then sought to cover it up. You know, that's a crime that is, that you just, no kidding. I mean, particularly in a football locker room, you just don't play that game. And so a person who's doing that, I'd say, you know, come on, you're revolting. Go away. That's disgusting. Pull up your damn pants and stop it. I don't want to see your performance.
Especially since here's my big issue. If Mike Prefer says we should load up an island full of gay people and nuke it till it glows. Obviously, that's never going to happen. We're not ever going to do that.
He's not advocating that either.
He's not advocating. I hope he's not.
No. But if he was advocating, you want to lock him up in an insane asylum.
Even if he was advocating, there'd be a lot more coming out than just that one line. There'd be a ton of other things. I mean, go just look at the Martin Incognito thing. We know everything about their relationship,
right,
from top to bottom. So.
And they constantly, both of them would write each other, I want to nuke your home. I want to lure your family into your home and set it ablaze. They would write very similar kinds of things about one another.
Which again, and they'd call each other homosexuals. And,
right.
And again, it just goes into, we've created a whole little world for football players and athletes,
right,
that they live off in their own little world.
It was all written. They thought they were just funning with each other. And they would respond to each other in a childish manner. And while I think it's inappropriate for adults to communicate that way with one another, it ought not be a crime. It ought not cost you your job.
Now, my initial point that I was going to is that the Penn State thing, that had actual victims. That has actual people that are still alive that are dealing with that.
Incognito Martin has no victims. They were slapping each other around with text messages. There's no victim there.
And right. I mean,
and there's no victim in this man's statement that I want to round him up on an island and nuke it until it glows. There's no victim there either.
None. And then somehow Prefer, three game suspension for him. And then when Tony Dungy said about Michael Sam that he went to draft him because of the distraction.
Right. He was annihilated on the radio. I mean, every single radio host dismissed him and said, he's not the man that I thought he was, and he's doing this because of his religion, and what a despicable thing to say, and I completely disagree with him, because the national religion of America, political correctness, says that you can't hold a view in America and say that you are not comfortable with homosexuality. It's now essentially illegal to hold that view in America.
Yeah, and I find that to be just mind-boggling, for one. I mean, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean that, I want to see the world.
There's no free speech when it comes to racism or to homosexuality. Free speech is gone in America on those subjects.
But it's like everybody forgot that up until, a week before training camp, Michael Sam was going to have Oprah have a camera there.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Dungy's comments were recorded immediately after that was announced and before it was canceled. And that was going to be a tremendous distraction. It was very poor judgment. And therefore, it was no longer about Michael Sam's ability to play football, whether he has it or not. It was all about he's gay and the celebration of him being gay. And that's not what training camp is for. And so at the time, Dungy's comments were, you've got a very marginal player. This is a seventh-round player that no one knows if he's going to make the team or not. A seventh-round player that's of marginal utility. You do not draft if it comes with a circus. You might take Peyton Manning, who's because of his father and his college career, comes with a bit of a cult of personality and a circus, and you may take that because of what he can provide. You may take Johnny Football, who comes with a circus. But the man's got talent up the wazoo. He's a first-round draft pick. Do you take the circus that comes along, self-imposed circus, self-chosen circus that comes along with Michael Sam, when he doesn't have outstanding talent?
Well, he's undersized for a DN, and he's not fast enough to play linebacker.
Right. Right, and he's lost weight so that he can get faster because he's too slow.
Yeah.
In an NFL where you don't want to be a pass rusher and not have some girth. I just don't get it. But we have become a nation where there are just things that are outlawed. They're criminal to say we no longer have free speech.
And I my big thing is I really don't care what somebody does.
I don't care who they
want to be with,
yeah,
who they want to love.
No,
I don't care.
I don't even care what kind of drugs they use. I don't care if you want to poison yourself, if you want to medicate yourself, whatever you want to do in your private life, so long as you're not abusing someone else, I really don't care. But I don't want to flaunt it. I don't want somebody that thinks that, he's the world's greatest stud and that his wife is a nymphomaniac. I don't want them parading out in public saying, aren't we special? Pay attention to us. I don't want that any more than I want, Bruce and Johnny to say, we just really love one another.
I feel if somebody tells me they're gay, I react to it the same way as somebody tells me I want to paint my house to look like a watermelon. I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, I really don't.
It's your house. Do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, so long as you don't perform sexual relations on your partner in front of me or in front of others, and you don't take up my time and company time to promote your lifestyle as if it were normal, I really don't care.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But if you flaunt it and you begin to promote it, then I care.
I agree.
As far as I'm concerned, if lammies are your thing or blow up dolls, I think it's pretty weird. But what you choose to do, that's your deal. If you if little girls who are underage and little boys are your deal, then I care a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
As everybody should.
Sexual assault and rape, yeah, I care a lot. That's inappropriate. But the rest of the stuff, it ought not even be an issue. We began the Sports in the News segment talking about Donald Sterling. And I took a fairly contrarian view with Donald Sterling. I said I listened to everything he had to say. And it was my contention that the woman who was blackmailing him, and it was clearly blackmail, who had recorded him illegally, was baiting him into this. And that turned out to be true. She's a prostitute. But beyond that, what I said was, the man's out of his mind. This is a man who is suffering a mental illness of some sort. He is out of his mind. We ought not be all upset that he said something that's racially insensitive because he's out of his mind. It is not unlike my mother-in-law whose kidney failures was causing her toxins in her brain to cause her to say things that, you know, we chose just to hug her. Because she was no longer in control of what she said. Guess what the court ruled yesterday? Donald Sterling is out of his mind. We'll be back with that story after the break. Welcome back to the final segment of our Sports in the News segment for this week. I was dismayed to read that Chris Paul, who is perhaps the best guard in basketball in the NBA. Certainly the best point guard in the NBA.
Best point guard, yep.
Yeah. Said that it is unacceptable if Donald Sterling is the owner of the team when the season begins. He says that he is thinking of sitting out the season if Donald Sterling remains in control of the team. He says that's something me and Doc Rivers, are both talking about. Paul said in a interview here recently. He says something needs to happen sooner rather than later. And Doc Rivers is on record telling the management of the team that if Donald Sterling is still involved, that he is not going to coach. You know, what it strikes me, Scott, is that we now know for certain, probate court has ruled, that Donald Sterling is not in control of his mind. That there is the gap between brain, which is not functioning, and lips is disconnected. He has Alzheimer's. When rather than feeling sympathy for an Alzheimer's patient, you abuse them in this way. Now, I know that what he said was bad, but, you know, my mother-in-law talking about the polar bears and the marching band that were taking place outside of the window, she was crazed. And we didn't mock her. We went along and said, yeah, cute little outfits that they're wearing, too. And you see those tanks roll by, because she would speak about the tanks. We felt sympathy for her. We hugged her. We knew that she was out of her mind. What I think Chris Paul and Doc Rivers are doing and the league is doing to Donald Sterling is not unlike taking a paraplegic out of a wheelchair than having everybody stand around and take turns kicking him.
Yeah, it's weird. Because usually Alzheimer's is kind of one of those, it's one of those don't touch, you know.
Right.
You don't,
because there's nothing you can do.
There's nothing.
It's
that,
just sad.
There's nothing that an Alzheimer's patient can do to.
Right. You can't help them. You can't reason with them.
Yep. And so it's weird to see people say things like this, and again, I what he said was stupid, and it's something that should have never been said. But kind of his disease kind of gives you the reason why he said it.
Yeah, by the way, you know, he's trying to have sex with a black girl. I mean, that's exactly, he's sitting here negotiating with his prostitute who's black, trying to have sex with her, which is why he's being strung along through this whole recorded dialogue. I don't think he's any more a racist than I am a baboon.
I think it goes back to when we initially talked about it. If you go down the he's trying to have sex with a black girl, I think that's going to lead to a slippery slope. But
how can you accuse him of being a racist, even though that's what his words sound like? When he's only having this conversation because this African-American woman, who is part Hispanic and mostly African-American, is toying him along because she was providing sex. In fact, he gave her $1.8 million worth of trinkets.
It goes back to
provide sex.
The first time we talked about it. His actions speak louder than words. And his
would you solicit sex from an African-American woman?
Well, I guess I wouldn't know.
You're not racist.
I'm not racist, so I don't really know.
But if you were,
we talked about this.
Of course not.
His actions throughout his life are not those of a racist.
Lifetime Achievement Award from the NAACP.
Most of his
apartments and renewals have been in Hispanic and in African American communities. Yes, the federal government blackmailed him into paying a fine, and rather than fighting it and spending many more millions, he paid a fine for allegedly discriminating when in fact the very facility was in Koreatown, where the Koreans are known to discriminate against African Americans because African Americans are prone to rob them.
Well, so his actions, this is another case. It's just like the prefer story and all that. Actions speak louder than words.
Of course. The coach currently of the Clippers that he hired, is he black or white?
Black.
Okay, and the general manager of the Clippers for about 15 to 20 years,
Elgin Baylor,
black or white?
Black.
Do actions speak louder than words?
You would think, but not in this case.
And Alzheimer's is not an excuse. It's not an illness.
It should be.